and how difficult it is to feel like we're getting ready for something today. I don't know if you're in the same place as I am, but I'm finding it very, very difficult to sort of get into Rosh Hashanah. Usually there's a feeling before Rosh Hashanah that we're about to go somewhere. We're about to leave sort of our everyday existences. We're about to leave, our normal lives. We're about to leave our mistakes. We're about to leave our Averos behind. Usually there's somewhat of a lead up where we feel like we're getting ready. We're putting things aside. We're anticipating. And this year, I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling that either very much. We've said a couple of days of slichos. Very, very difficult to say slichos. And saying slichos in a mask. I don't know if any of you were there. You look like you're undergraduates. You're probably not there for slichos in the yeshiva. But it's hard. It's hard with 30 people at slichos and 40 people at slichos and everybody wearing masks. It's difficult to feel that feeling of anticipation. It's difficult to feel that feeling like it's something we've been, Rosh Hashanah just kind of is coming upon us this year. And part of the challenge as well, I think, is that we feel that at the end of this process, we're pretty much going to be in the same place. Yes, I hope that we'll be cleared of our Averos and we'll be better people somehow. But, what we're really trying to get out of right now is not the sakana of having Averos, but the real thing that we're trying to get out of now is our world that has been turned upside down. And we're getting more and more indications that that is just not going to happen by Hoshana Rabbah. I do hope the yeshiva is going to be open. I heard a rumor that the yeshiva wasn't really opening, and that's not true. We're really actually hoping to welcome you all back as soon as Sukkot is over. Of course, nobody knows till as you're in your cars on the way in whether or not this is going to be able to happen. But we're planning on having you back. But we're not really leaving. We're kind of resigned to the fact that this new reality, at least for the next year, is something that we're going to be placed back into when everything is said and done. It's a very, very difficult thing that we're trying to do now to make a meaningful Rosh Hashanah, a meaningful Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a meaningful Yom Kippur experience. I saw a few days ago one of the craziest news reports that I had, I think, ever seen. The news reports are coming out of Singapore. Now, Singapore, I don't know exactly where Singapore is, somewhere out there. Singapore is has a very, very low COVID rate. The island of Singapore is somewhat isolated, and therefore Singapore has a very, very low COVID rate. But everywhere around them has a very high COVID rate. People in Singapore who are used to being somewhat isolated are used to traveling a lot. They're used to traveling a lot in order to be able to escape their little place of Singapore, but they can't go anywhere. They could be together with each other. It's a very, very low COVID rate, but they can't go anywhere. So Singapore Airlines, which is basically going out of business, decided to try something new, and that is to have flights to nowhere. Flights to nowhere to help the people and help the airline. Now, I understand why the airline would want to do this. Check people into the airport, have them come in, have them check a little bit of luggage, get on the plane, get greeted by stewardesses and the whole thing, fly around for about 2.5 hours and land back in Singapore. Now, I understand that the airline would want to do this because people are actually paying money to take tickets to fly around in the air and turn around and come back and land in Singapore. What's incredible is that people are paying money to do this, and they are lining up in droves to come to the airport, because again, the COVID rate itself is very low. They're not worried about catching it from each other, to come to the airport, to check in, to sit in by the gate, to get on the plane, to get their little cocktails and everything, to fly around for a couple hours and then come home. Some of them are going to hotels in Singapore. It turns out that it's not so exciting to go to a hotel, but if you get on a plane first and you fly around for 2 hours and then you land, then it's exciting to go to a hotel. But many people are just flying around and coming back home. And they are expressing that this is something that they are very much longing to do, and it fills a real need in our lives. And as I'm looking at this ridiculous report, I'm realizing that's sort of what we're all going to do in the next couple of weeks. We're basically going to take a plane to nowhere. We're going to get up, we're going to go up in the air, and then we're going to land back in COVID land here. We wish that, and we hope that through some kind of a Yeshua, some kind of a miracle, we're going to end up landing somewhere else. And we don't really like to land somewhere else at this point in our lives for a little bit, even just to take a vacation from COVID. But the reality is, when this flight lands, we're going to be right back where we were. But I think what this fascinating phenomenon in Singapore shows is that there may be value in getting on the plane, even if at the end of the flight, you're going to end up in the same place. Because there's still an experience of flying. One of the things that we do when we go on vacation is we fly. And the experience of flying, these people have shown, is valuable and is something that is liberating in and of itself. What do you accomplish when you fly to nowhere? Well, first of all, you have to decide what you're going to take with you for this little trip. You know, I've mentioned this before in previous years, but it's just so relevant this year, that the process of going through the Aseret Yemei Teshuva is very much like checking into an airport. Very much like checking into an airport. Think about it. There's a lot of hustle and bustle. You got to pay for your seats. When else do you have to pay for seats? You have to get all your stuff together. You get to the airport, and you're asked a bunch of questions. You're asked, first of all, if you're going on an LL flight, who are you? And what are you on this flight for? What are you going for? Right, those same questions that you know, that kid who's like probably 2 years younger than you, which is, you can't believe, are you actually the security guard? That kid who is interviewing you at the airport at JFK on your flight to Israel. So those questions are questions that are worth being asked, even if your flight is going nowhere. Who are you? And what are you flying for? I'm getting lots of Yontov greetings in the back. Who are you, and what are you flighting for? And what are you flying for? You get through security. You've asked yourself some basic questions. And those are questions that you really have to ask yourself. It's really good to look at your passport this time of year, because the world kind of fell apart in the last year. But you have a passport, and the passport is the person that you hope to be when you go on your journeys. Passport is something that usually you get for 10 years at a time. It is a picture which isn't changing. And sometimes you really wish the picture was changing, especially at your age. You kind of wish that that picture could change. But it's a picture, it's a demus of who you are. And it's sometimes valuable, especially at this point, after 6 months of this pandemic, to open up your passport, your personal passport, your picture of who you are, your picture of where you want to go and what you want to become. And look at that. It's valuable to do that again at this time. You haven't lost who you are. You've been very confused. You've been driving around. You haven't opened up that passport in a long time. But it's kedai to ask yourself some questions now today on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Who am I? Where am I looking to go? What's important to me? As you get further along into security, so they're going to check your bags. What does it mean that you get your bags checked? It turns out that you have to get your bags checked even if you're going nowhere, just to get on the flight. Just to get on the flight tonight, you have to get your bags checked. What kind of stuff have you left in your bags? One of the questions that we all have to ask ourselves when we're going flying is, what do we really want to take with us? What are the things that we want to take with us into 5781? And what's the stuff that we should leave behind? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Whenever we're about to go on a flight, whenever we're about to go on a trip, we actually go through a selection process. We decide which things are most dear to us, which things are most important, which things are central. We also ask that about people, although that's kind of been decided for us on many levels. The small group of people that are going to come on the plane with us, that kind of has been. I hope you like them because you're spending a lot of time with them. I spoke to a lot of my friends in Eretz Yisrael this morning. They're going to really have to like the people that they're with for the next 3 or so weeks. So you've already, the choice of people has already been made, but the choice of what's in your bag, what are you taking? What's essential to you? Those are questions that are worth asking, even if your flight is going nowhere. The most important thing whenever you're flying, especially if you're flying to El Al and you're going to Eretz Yisrael and you have so much stuff you want to take, the most important question that you generally want to ask yourself when you're on your way to a flight to Israel is not so much what you're going to take, but it's much more what you're going to leave behind. What stuff do you want to leave behind? What things can you just leave in 5780? There probably are some failures that are worth leaving behind. There are probably some very low moments that are worth leaving behind. What are things that you have to say to yourself, I don't think I want to take this with me into the next year? There's a lot of stuff that you're forced to take. There's a lot of stuff from 5780 that it looks like is going to come with us into 5781. But what things can I leave behind? What habits do I need to take myself on the plane? What things that I start to do, maybe that I even didn't do before the last 6 months? What things do I really need to take with me into the next year? And think of yourself not as going through one of those x-ray machines, but one of those checks on El Al where you actually have to open up your bag. You actually have to open up your bag in front of somebody. The last check before you get on the flight. What's in your bag? What grudges are in your bag? Who are you holding a grudge against? Who did something to you that you just can't let it go? You know what? When you get on a flight, you can't take any explosives on the plane. You can't take the stuff with you. And you know, there's that feeling that, you know, when do you ever buy in the airport in Ben Gurion right before you get on the flight, you actually were dumb enough to buy a drink by the gate? Because you see, I think in America, if you have the drink and you bought it inside, then you could take it on the plane. But there's that whole shop there right next to the gate of stuff that you could buy, but you can't take on the plane. And you dafka want to buy the stuff right when they say we're boarding. So, oh, I'm going to need a shtia. I need something. And then you buy the drink and then they said to you, no liquids. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with it? What am I supposed to do with it? So there's like two kinds of people. There are people who realize they just paid $5 for a bottle of water and they're going to drink the water. Lahachas, even if they miss the flight, they're going to drink the water right there because they're going to drink their water. But what do most of us do? Most of us are like, okay, what am I going to do? I toss the water. You ever toss a water at a checkpoint like that? It's chaval to leave it behind, but you just don't have any choice. And you don't think twice about it. It's just the price of getting on the plane. What do we need to get rid of to get on this plane? People did things to us. They forgot about us. They didn't include us. They said something was insulting. It's what happens. It's part of life. What do I need to take with me on this plane? What am I going to be able to get with me through security? The flight might land in exactly the same place, but the stuff that I threw out at security, that stuff's not going to come with me. I'm going to end up right back in Singapore. But what did I have to throw out to get off the plane, to get on the plane? So think about that. And I think, again, it's very true. The last 6 months have been very, very difficult for all of us. Very difficult time. Very difficult to be at our best. We've probably been bored more than we're bored. We developed habits that didn't really make sense when we were fully engaged and we were fully running around. Even things of just batola, not things that are bad. Things that just keep our mind going. You know what? We need to do certain things to keep ourselves sane. It's not terrible to have a little entertainment when there's nothing going on. But do we need to take it on the plane with us? Are we going to take this on this journey? Are we going to take this along with us? Are we going to take our failures with us? That's something else that we carry with us. Times when we tried to change something, we tried to fix something, it didn't work. And we're convinced that if we try it again, it's not going to work. You don't have to take that on the plane with you. You don't have to do that. The last thing that happens when you go on a flight to nowhere is that for a little bit of time, you get to rise above the clouds. For a little bit of time, you get to rise up into the air. I don't know if any of you heard me talk about this, but I once saw a phenomenal idea about how to have kavana in tefillah. Rabbi Uri Weissblum writes in Eretz Yisrael, wrote a sefer called Haras HaTefillah. So he writes and he says, how is it that a person who's involved in the normal world, they have children, they have business, they have things, they have tzaras, they have stomach ache there. How are they supposed to have kavana when they're davening? He says, a phenomenal thing. I try to do this when I daven. So Rav Uri Weissblum says, have you ever tried to take off from an airport during a storm? Right? You ever have this? I'm sure you've been. It's pouring outside and you're in the plane. There's part of you that's like, is it really safe to fly a plane in this much rain? Does the pilot have to see? Probably not. There's autopilot. Like, yeah, you're like talking to yourself. You're saying, it's a big plane. It's not going to slip. You go up and you fly up in the air and you hope that things will get better once you're a little bit further in the air. And then within a couple of minutes, you go into the cloud. Things get much worse. You can't see anything outside the window. And you're like, again, you're asking these shilas, like, does the pilot have to see? Could he see? Does he have glasses to see through this? Are there other planes in the cloud? This is not safe. And then there's that moment where you break through the top of the cloud and you realize that it's always sunny on top of the clouds. And suddenly the black clouds are beneath you. You're not in them anymore. And you get that feeling. I mean, you could probably imagine this. You probably had this moment where you broke through the clouds and you realized, oh, it's sunny up there. He said, try that when you daven Shmoneh Esrei. The rain, the clouds, is everything that's going on in our lives. It's real. And you know what? Even once you get up on top of the clouds, it's still there. But you're in a different place for a little while. You're standing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's value in taking off and flying there, even if you're going to have to come back down into the storm. Possible to do during this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The flight is going to come right back down to the same place, I hate to tell you. Probably. Most likely the flight's going to come right back down into a terrible, terrible storm. But the question is, can we create moments during the Amidas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Can we get away for a little while can we pull ourselves out of this world, even for a little while, before we come down? The last part of the trip is when you get back to the airport, you're very tired, just want to go home, and you're waiting at the luggage, and the luggage starts moving. You see the first luggage come out. You start to think, how much money did those people pay that their luggage comes first? Will I ever be the ones who have their luggage looking like that coming out first? And then I see some of you have had the same experience. And then the luggage starts coming out. And somehow your luggage is never the luggage that comes out. How is it possible by statistical reasoning that your luggage someone's luggage has to come out first? It's never, ever going to be yours. And finally, you see your bag. And you feel very, very fortunate to have that bag. You feel so excited to see that bag come out. And it's funny because not necessarily a nice piece of luggage. And you might have actually been a little frustrated that you didn't go out and buy a few things before your new trip. You just put your old stuff in the bag. But when you get your stuff back, it's very, very special to have it again. You feel very, very lucky to have the bag at the end of the trip. And even though you haven't gone anywhere, you suddenly realize that the blessings that you do have in your life are very, very special. Sometimes luggage gets lost. That's certainly one of the lessons of COVID, that not everything that we took off with is still here. Sometimes there's luggage that gets lost along the way. But the luggage that we do have, we suddenly feel a different sense of appreciation for what we have and a different sense of joy that we're able to see these things again. And that's also what this trip to nowhere has to do for us. We may end up in exactly the same place, but we have to look to the things we have, to the freedoms we have, to the people that we have, to the opportunities that we have. And we have to look at them. And we have to appreciate them in a way that we didn't appreciate them before we got on the flight. So try it. Try it. It's not that many places to go right now. But the people in Singapore are not so crazy. There are a lot of advantages of taking a flight, even if it's going to end up right back in the same place. So I hope, Amir Tzashem, you have a tisa ne'ima and a good trip and a siyah tova into 57, 81. I heard somebody say in Brooklyn, what they're saying is Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tehei Shnas Pandemic Oiva. Tehei Shnas Pandemic Oiva. So Mitzvah Shem, when we do come back, at least some point, maybe it's going to be a long flight, but that we should be back and we should be able to be together in a real way. I think we'll appreciate the value of being together in a way we never did before. And I wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova.